Welcome to Love Your Heart, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic's Seidel and Arnold Miller Family Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute. These podcasts will help you learn more about your heart, thoracic, and vascular systems, ways to stay healthy, and information about diseases and treatment options. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Natalie Salvatore. I'm a registered nurse in the Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute at Cleveland Clinic. March is National Nutrition Month and focuses on the importance of making informed food choices and developing healthy eating and physical activity habits. When it comes to your heart, what you eat or don't eat matters. I'm joined today by Julia Zampano, a registered dietitian in the Department of Preventive Cardiology at Cleveland Clinic, to tell us a little bit about her role and tips on how to eat for heart health.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me today.
So I think the first thing we should start with is, what is a registered dietitian nutritionist? I know I've seen a lot of different ways to say this. Nutritionist, dietitian, are they the same thing?
So that can be very confusing. There are several ways to classify dietitians. Most commonly, we are classified as a registered dietitian and then a licensed dietitian. The LD is the licensed dietitian, and certain states require dietitians to be licensed. Certain states do not require licensure. So you may or may not see the LD next to the RD, which is the registered dietitian. Now, more recently, we've added the RDN. The N is the nutritionist. So it stands for registered dietitian nutritionist. So essentially the same as a registered dietitian, but adding that nutritionist on the end for people to have more of a general understanding on what dietitians really do. We are advocates for advancing the nutrition status of Americans and people all around the world. RDNs are food and health experts who can translate the science of nutrition into practical solutions for healthy living. RDNs have degrees in nutrition, dietetics, or a related field from a well-respected accredited college or university. They've completed an internship, passed a registration exam, and maintain continuing education units each year to maintain their registration and licensure. RDNs use their nutrition expertise to help individuals make personalized, positive lifestyle changes. RDNs work in a variety of settings, in the community and hospital settings. They may work at a school or at a health clinic, a gym. They work in so many different ways across the lifespan.
So it sounds like your expertise can be used in many different facets of health. Now, if somebody was interested in working with an RDN, how could they get connected? Do they need a referral? And how would they even find somebody to work with? I can imagine it's important that they find somebody who specializes in their unique needs. How can someone find that person?
That's a great question. So I would start off with your insurance company. So if you want to use insurance for the visit with a registered dietitian nutritionist, you'd start there. See what coverage you have, what dietitians in your area are covered under your plan, and start to reach out to those specific dietitians and see what they specialize in. If you don't want to use insurance, then there's several options. There's often dietitians that work in private practice that you are required to self-pay for, and they may also have a variety of different specialties. EatRight.org is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics main website. They have a tab where you can find a registered dietitian in your area. That would be another great place to start, because they do list the registered dietitian nutritionist in their order of specialty. So that would be a great place to start. So it's just a matter of kind of troubleshooting how you want to pay for the service, if the insurance is being involved, if you want to maybe go through your local health system, or if you want to go more of a private practice route.
Julia, that's great recommendations on how to find a registered dietitian to work with. At Cleveland Clinic, is there anything specific to help our patients find someone?
Yes, clevelandclinic.org. we have a website under the Digestive Disease Institute, which is nutrition. And it does provide an overview of what we do, what conditions we treat, has a list of registered dietitian nutritionists, and then also has the information on the locations that a dietitian can be found and how to make an appointment with a dietitian. We offer varieties of different types of appointments. They might be in-person, virtual, shared nutrition appointments, shared medical appointments, and we have group nutrition classes. So there's a variety of registered dietitian nutritionists that can really serve and really tailor your specific needs at Cleveland Clinic.
So of course, individual recommendations are great, which I think would be very helpful if our patients and listeners did find somebody who worked specifically with their conditions. But what advice could you offer our listeners today that might be a little bit more general for heart health?
Another great question, Natalie. So, you know, one thing I found with a majority of the patients that I see is that they're lacking an essential nutrient called fiber. Fiber is the building blocks of plants, and it's a non-digestible, non-absorbable carbohydrate. What fiber does is it can formulate and excrete toxins. So it helps pull things that we don't need in our body and helps get rid of them in the form of stool. It creates stool and is your body's own cleansing system. Fiber also expands in your belly, so it makes you feel fuller longer. Fiber can lower cholesterol by binding around something called bile in our guts, and bile is composed of cholesterol, so it can eliminate that bile with the body's waste. It can lower or control blood sugars by slowing down the rate of glucose from going into the bloodstream after you eat something that may have carbohydrates in it. But if it's high in fiber, it will really slow down that rate. And fiber also feeds your good gut bacteria. So fiber is the food that all those good bacteria in your stomach, which is called the gut microbiome, they feed off fiber-rich foods. So fiber is essential to health, and it's commonly underconsumed. So where can you get fiber? From plant-based foods. So really anything that grows from the ground, that's a plant, has some fiber in it. So what we're thinking is things like fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds and beans or legumes. Those are very rich fibrous foods. When you do consume fibrous foods, you really want to add a lot of variety to your diet as much as you can and get, you know, a certain food from each food group at least once a day. So what I mean by that is you want to make sure you're getting a fruit, a vegetable, a grain, a nut and a seed and a bean. So that's a lot to keep track of, but they're all very fiber rich and have a lot of other nutrients in addition to the fiber. So we know the plant-based foods are very nutrient dense.
So it sounds like fiber is a pretty important component of foods that we eat, and we should increase our fiber intake, but I'm sure there are some things that we should be decreasing. What should we be decreasing in our diet?
So for heart health, we really focus on looking at the kinds of fats that you're consuming in your diet. So we know that saturated fats and trans fats are not supportive to heart health. They can cause the cholesterol to rise. They can cause triglycerides to rise, which are another kind of fat in our blood. Those can lead to plaque buildup in our arteries, which can eventually lead to heart disease. So what we're trying to do is prevent that from happening. So how we can do it is decreasing those animal fats, including saturated fats and trans fats. So what I mean by animal fats would be things like fatty cuts of meats, fried foods like fried or breaded chicken, fast foods that may have a lot of processed meats in them, like bologna or salami or pepperoni. It will also include some of the dairy fats like butter or processed cheeses are high in fat, or some of the really high fat condiments like sour cream and cream cheese, mayonnaise, some of those fatty condiments and animal fats are really the place where we're going to consume the most amount of saturated fat in trans fats. But fat is really good for us. We need fats. They provide essential fatty acids, fat-soluble vitamins. These are all essential for growth and development and brain health as well. So we want to increase the fats that come from plant-based foods and fish. And the reason for that is plant-based foods and fish provide what we call monounsaturated or polyunsaturated fats. These fats have been shown to support heart health. They help decrease your LDL, the bad cholesterol, when you use good fats to replace bad. They increase your HDL, your good cholesterol, which kind of that is like that dump truck that removes the bad cholesterol out and transports it to the liver to be removed. So we really want to focus on increasing plant fats such as extra virgin olive oil, avocados or avocado oils, nuts and seeds, specifically things like walnuts and almonds and hazelnuts, chia seeds and flax seeds, because they really hone in on those good fats. And then fatty or oily fish like salmon, herring, tuna, mackerel, those have that omega-3 fatty acid that has been shown to even further support heart health by helping with lowering triglycerides and lowering blood pressure, and the stickiness of your platelets helps decrease that. So all supportive to heart health. So second tip really to focus on is decreasing the bad fats, increasing the good ones.
Anything else we should be decreasing?
Yeah, lastly, we want to focus on processed foods and decreasing those. And the reason for that is I mentioned those a little bit with the fat. So a lot of the highly processed foods are very high in fat, but they're also high in salt and sugar. And too much salt and sugar is not good for our heart health. So sodium, which is what salt is made of, salt is sodium chloride. Sodium can cause blood pressure to rise if you're consuming too much. So increased blood pressure can be a risk factor for developing a stroke. So we want to really keep that blood pressure well controlled by decreasing the amount of salt or sodium that we have in our diet. And the first step would be decreasing processed foods, because processed foods also have all those other unhealthy ingredients like the bad unhealthy fats and the sugar and, of course, the salt that will help you decrease all of those things. Now, if you're eating a whole foods rich, plant rich diet with a lot of good healthy fats and you're adding a little bit of salt, that's really rarely the issue. Excess sodium typically comes from those processed foods, convenience foods, fast foods, and a lot of those store-bought, maybe even commercial dessert foods and sweets. That's where you're going to get a majority of them.
Those are some great suggestions of things that we should decrease. Now, I know we've talked about this in other podcasts, but all of this advice can be pretty overwhelming sometimes for patients, you know, going grocery shopping and looking at food labels and making all these big lifestyle changes to how we're eating. So what would be your biggest piece of advice to somebody who's looking to start their journey on a heart-healthy diet?
I would recommend starting small. So pick one thing you want to work on, what you think is most realistic for you, whether maybe you start with having a vegetable every day and that's your main goal. It could be the same vegetable every day, but you just have it every day. And then from there, maybe your next step is that you add a little bit of variety to that vegetable. So you try to switch it up every couple days. And then as you get comfortable, maybe you add a vegetable twice a day. And then you can take it a step further by adding a fruit a day and so forth and so on. Or maybe you really want to focus on some of the things that aren't serving you. So maybe you focus on decreasing your sugar sweetened drinks to maybe one or two times a week, or whatever you think is realistic to you, or your fast food intake. You try to cut it down to, you know, once a week, or whatever you think is realistic. So start with a realistic, attainable goal that you know will positively impact your health, and know that you're taking the right step. So small steps can make a huge impact in the long run. So instead of setting unrealistic, unattainable goals that are overwhelming, that won't get you really anywhere, start with a really small step that you can take and then expand upon that step as to where you think you can go next.
Wow, that's great advice. Starting small and making those little changes can have a big impact.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to review what a registered dietitian nutritionist is and how they can be supportive to someone's heart health.
Thank you so much for having me today, Natalie. I hope that you're able to find a registered dietitian nutritionist to help you along your health journey.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. We welcome your comments and feedback. Please contact us at heart@ccf.org. Like what you heard? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen at clevelandclinic.org/loveyourheartpodcast.